It's the only original Alaska Lighthouse left. A lot of people would like to go out there. The Sheldon would like to make that access possible.
The Sheldon Museum gets licensed to restore Eldred Rock, and a local shrimp fishery opens Wednesday. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. If you've lived any amount of time in the Upper Lynn Canal or traveled by ferry in the Lynn Canal, you've seen Eldred Rock. Usually only Coast Guard, NOAA weather folks, or the occasional rogue boater steps foot on the island, and the lighthouse itself hasn't been inhabited since the 1970s. It has a storied past, a former lighthouse keeper haunted by two of his trusted assistants lost at sea, a steamship wreck off the shore of the island where as many as 75 lives and 850 pounds of gold are said to have been lost, and legendary storms that eventually prompted the federal government to begin constructing navigational aids in Alaska waters. Normally, all that history is confined to the island and within the vacant walls of the lighthouse. But all of that might be changing in the next few years. After 16 years of navigating federal bureaucratic channels, the Sheldon Museum recently received the go-ahead from the Coast Guard to submit plans for restoration and maintenance of the historic site. If the museum submits that plan in the next 4 months, the Coast Guard will give the museum a 5-year lease on the site to make its plans a reality. So, to get the process rolling, members of the museum's Eldred Rock Committee recently made the 90-minute boat ride south from Haines to spend the day at the island. Working with the Marine Exchange of Alaska, 20-plus people offloaded onto the rocky shores and scrambled up the incline to the more than 4,500-square-foot octagon lighthouse. First, committee chair Pam Randles gave instructions on what the group was trying to accomplish on the rainy Saturday.
Our goal for this trip is to go through the area that you've been assigned and look for what's wrong, essentially. Make your list of all of the possibilities and then put the stars by the most important. And by most important, I mean the things that we need to stabilize and seal up the building so they don't get worse over the course of the 5 years we have to work on it.
The first thing you notice when walking up to the lighthouse is it's huge. Normally, looking at the structure from a boat offshore, you think of the lighthouse as a cute, iconic little landmark. But up close, the octagon structure standing sentinel over the waters is imposing. The concrete and California redwood structure was built in 1905, and while some upgrades have been made over the years, the building and nearby workshop and boathouse have remained largely untouched. The first floor was originally the workhorse of the lighthouse, a long concrete engine room, air tanks that maybe held compressed air for the old foghorn, and peeling paint on the walls, the ceiling, everywhere. You can just barely smell the slightly sweet odor of the bright lead paint. On this day, the museum group broke into groups to examine the structure itself more closely. Andrea Nelson and Tonica Ford were assigned to examine the cupola of the lighthouse. Three flights of narrow spiral stairs lead up to where the old lens was once installed. That's now in the museum in Haines, and the light was automated in 1975. Ford and Nelson meticulously went from floor to ceiling of the staircase, photographing and documenting any structural defects they found. They finally got to the top, where they ventured out onto the narrow balcony that surrounds the light.
No banisters.
It might as well be no banisters, because they're like rotted and loose.
But aside from the obvious safety issues, it's still the best view on the island.
I think it's awesome. I think this is the million-dollar place.
This is the money shot.
A floor below, Phyllis Sage and Merrill Loudon had the task of combing through the second floor, what was originally the living quarters of the lighthouse attendants.
For this room, we would take pictures of the ceiling. You can see where all the damage is, the water coming in. We take pictures of the cracks on the walls. We would take pictures of all of this, and we want kind of close-up so we can see, because we know this is just damage from the stuff getting in, but we don't know where. So basically, you start at one end, one side of the room, and just do pretty much a whole shot.
An inventory of damage.
Yes, please.
Okay. The four bedrooms are surprisingly bright and expansive, still painted in the mellow blue, greens, and yellows of the 1960s and 70s. A few old military-issued mattresses still reside there, as does an old cast-iron mint-green bathtub. There's signs that the occasional boater or kayaker have ventured into the lighthouse, like the box of oatmeal, jar of raspberry jam, and can of tomatoes left in one of the bedroom closets. And while not riddled with spray paint, there is plenty of handwritten graffiti documenting the Coast Guard helo crews or other travelers that have ventured there.
These guys stayed here on their human-powered journey to all 50 states.
Oh, cool.
Thanks for the shelter and water.
You're welcome, whoever you are.
Weather is the primary force working to erode the lighthouse. As Sage points out, in the old kitchen, a broken window letting in wind and rain is causing the most damage to the inside.
Yeah, it's bad. Which is why I think this probably has some of the worst.
No, we could take
the other. There was another place that we found that had an open window, and that room was also had a lot of elemental stuff too. Okay, we're still coming around.
Two teams surveyed the outside of the structure, including one who explored the 2.4-acre island to record flora, fauna, and artifacts. Judy Jacobson was with that group. She said most of the plants are usual for the area, with the exception of the rhubarb some former lighthouse attendant must have planted there. But the group spent much of their time finding remnants of the lighthouse's more than 100-year-old history along the beach. Local archaeologist Anastasia Wiley collected some of the items, as Jacobson explains.
Every couple of feet, there'd be something. Weird pieces of glass that she could now take back and figure out what it is.
Overall, the structure and grounds are in better shape than Randall's expected.
It honestly isn't nearly as bad as I had feared. The deterioration isn't as bad as I had feared. There's a lot more paint chipped off, but that's not surprising. But the structure is sounder than I had. I'd been hearing tales from people who'd been out here more recently than me. And it actually looks pretty sound. It actually looks pretty good. There's a lot of work to do. Yes, there of course is. But structurally, it's pretty good.
If all goes well in the next few years, the Coast Guard could eventually decide to transfer ownership of Eldred Rock to the museum. But right now, the committee is focused on compiling plans and raising money. With the lease, federal money and grants for historic preservation will open up as potential funding sources. But Randall said the committee still has a long way to go with funding its plans. Ideas for those plans include, first and foremost, keeping the lighthouse from any further deterioration. Long-term plans include a way to dock at the island to get ashore, a maritime museum, and possibly a kayak hostel. Randall said the museum is contacted often by people who want to visit the island or have a wedding or fishing trip there.
I mean, and I think a lot of people think that in this community and want to save it. It's the only original Alaska lighthouse left. A lot of people would like to go out there. The Sheldon would like to make that access possible so that people could go out there.
Now, more than 30 years after the last lighthouse keeper left the island, the old lighthouse may see new life. To see pictures of the Eldred Rock Committee's trip to Eldred Rock, visit the KHNS News Facebook page. The District 15 Southeast Alaska Commercial Shrimp Pot Fishery will open Wednesday at 8 a.m. on the west side of Lynn Canal. District 15 runs between Little Island Light north to the south tip of Seduction Point. It's open for the remaining 6,000 pounds of the guideline harvest level. Local commercial fish biologist Randy Bachman with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game said the 6,000 pounds will likely be taken in 2 or 3 weeks, at which time the department will announce a closure. Bachman said it's almost an identical fishery as last year, with a similar guideline harvest limit. And based on data and fall time catch rates, he said the stock seems to be doing well. For more information, visit the Alaska Department of Fish and Game website. Southeast Alaska's Regional Native Corporation, Sea Alaska, says it brought in almost $312 million during 2012. That's close to 20% more than the previous year and the largest amount from the past 5 years. The numbers are for total income or gross revenues. Sea Alaska's profit or net revenue are $11.3 million for 2012. That's 40% more than 2011, but it's lower than the previous 2 years. The numbers are in Sea Alaska's 2012 annual report, which was released last week. The Juneau-based corporation has about 21,000 shareholders, including more than 200 in the Haines and Clukwan area. More than half of Sea Alaska's 2012 gross revenues were in the service sector, including environmental contracting and security. About a quarter came from manufacturing, mainly plastics factories in the lower 48 and Mexico. A little less than a fifth of the overall earnings came from natural resources, including timber and gravel operations. The rest was from investments. The manufacturing service and investments had higher profits than previous year, but natural resource profits dropped. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Visit our news section online at khns.org or our KHNS News Facebook page. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klequon. But we're more than just your local news. We also collaborate with other Southeast public radio stations to keep you informed of regional issues that affect us locally. We bring you these wider-reaching stories along with local news to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained. And we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.